Noah and Kate, Chapter 8, Part 1. He should go to bed. Noah drove down Main Street towards his apartment, a moody fatigue gritting his eyes. He was hungry, he was tired, and his damned trapezoids were seizing again, tightening up the back of his shoulders. These overnight shifts were beginning to take a toll on him. Up all night, working a physically demanding job. And when the sun finally did rise and grace the world with another beautiful summer day, all he could think about was a long, hot shower and about 12 hours of uninterrupted rest. Okay, if he was being honest, he sort of thought he'd already be asleep by now. Only in Kate's bed. In the cabin. After having won her over with that smooth move up against the wall and his irresistible charm. Sure, he was tired, but he'd always find the energy for sex. Especially with Kate. He had climbed into his truck to head home, but had paused with the keys in the ignition as he'd caught sight of her leaving the store. He'd watched, almost transfixed, as she'd waved her goodbyes to Paige and the older ladies and set off down the street, her face bright and glowing with excitement. It had made his heart hurt a little, seeing that rarest of all emotions, happiness, bloom across her features and bring out her true beauty. She was radiant when she was happy, her face flushed and her eyes bright. Even her hair seemed to bounce around a little more joyously, waves of it sliding off her shoulders as she moved. The urge to touch her, to just touch her, to let two fingers drift down the skin of her arm or skim across the back of her hand had been almost overwhelming. But of course he hadn't. I don't want to waste my time. He hadn't been prepared for such a blunt rejection. After sharing such a passionate kiss with her, after her unexpected ardor, kissing him back fiercely, her hands everywhere, even up into his hair, and her body pressing up against him in all the right places. Jesus. Clearly, she was as hot for him as he was for her, but the difference was, and it was a big, throbbing, obnoxious difference, he actually liked her. Always had. He pulled up in front of his place, a modern duplex that hadn't seen an upstairs tenant since last summer, when a vacationing family had taken it for a few weeks. Normally, he appreciated being the only one in the building, since it made sleeping during the day a little easier. But now, as he fit the key in the lock and opened the door into his quiet, sparsely furnished unit, he felt the emptiness like a punch in the gut. He let his backpack slide down his arm to the sofa and dropped his keys in the little dish by the front door. He didn't bother turning on the light. The curtains were still closed, and so, in spite of the brilliant afternoon sun, the room was dim and cool, with only a bright line of sunlight edging the curtains and the sliding glass doors that led out to his little back patio. Perfect for sleeping the day away, he thought, before night fell and he had to get up and do it all again. His stomach was grumbling, irritated that he hadn't stopped at the diner for his usual post-night shift health bomb breakfast of bacon and eggs and a stack of dollar pancakes drenched in syrup. Fatigue was winning the battle today, and he figured he'd just grab a protein bar on the way to bed, if he even made it that far. He flopped down on the sofa and clunked his feet up on the chipped glass coffee table, scattering some newspapers in a pizza box he'd forgotten was under them. That dating site. Another blow he'd had to just take on the chin. This morning she'd kissed him like the plane was going down, and 2 hours later she's setting up a dating profile? Great. Talk about sending a message. And just when he'd thought he'd seen a bit of tenderness in her face, just when she touched him, and he'd felt warm relief like he'd been holding his breath and had finally let it out. Zuzu's friggin' petals. Good goddamn, his life was a joke. It was a new sensation, part of his mind observed with almost clinical, if miserable, detachment. He'd never quite felt this exact thing, being physically wanted by a woman, but nothing more. Not that it couldn't have happened in the past, For all he knew, a few of the women he'd dated could have been looking for a simple roll in the hay with a hot guy and nothing more. In general, though, the girls he'd liked had always liked him back. Those relationships hadn't gone the distance, but it hadn't been because they'd been doomed from the start as merely sexual or based solely on the fleeting fickleness of physical chemistry. At least, he didn't think so. Jesus, now he was questioning everything. He let his head fall back on the sofa and sighed at the ceiling. Why should he care? Why was he putting himself through this dark night of the soul stuff? So she wasn't into him, so what? He wasn't good enough for her. And what else was new? He'd known since high school that she'd end up with someone serious. Someone with his life together. Someone with a string of letters after his name and a six-figure bank balance. She deserved someone like that, if he was being honest. Except she had kissed him. In fact, kiss wasn't exactly the right word. It wasn't enough of a word. It needed about a dozen more letters and a few extra vowels or something, and it needed to be said with a guttural, drawn-out groan or something. She had kissed him. Ugh. She had kissed him with her entire being, with her body and her soul. One minute, she was no-nonsense Katie Malone, hands on hips, blinking at him for an explanation. The next, she'd been a white-hot flame in his arms, hands all over him, breasts pressed against him, her mouth taking his with a fierceness, a ferociousness. Jesus, even thinking about that kiss was making his jeans a little too tight across the crotch. How could someone kiss you like that, and then insist they wanted nothing more to do with you? The question barged into his reverie like it was tapping its foot and waiting for an answer. Well, how could someone be so passionate and dispassionate at the same time? Feeling that heat explode from her, feeling this passionate young woman all but ignite in his arms, it was the closest he'd ever come to having a no-touch orgasm, standing right there in the kitchen, up against the 1970s wood paneling walls. Thank God he hadn't. She would have been horrified by that display of neediness and, well, yes, abject adolescent lust. Serious men didn't come in their pants over one kiss. But damn, it had been close. Jesus. It just wasn't possible to be so cavalier about desire like that, he thought. At least, it wasn't for him. Whether his past relationships had lasted a few weeks or a few years, whether they had ended amicably in friendship or had crashed and burned like a Taylor Swift song, there had always been that solid foundation of passion and heady euphoria. And that in-love-with-being-in-love feeling, at least at the beginning. He didn't think he'd ever actually been in love with any of his previous girlfriends, because the infatuation stage had only ever settled into a kind of lingering fondness for them, and not much more. And he was fairly sure they all felt the same way about him, but in that honeymoon stage, well, he just couldn't imagine feeling nothing for someone he was kissing, caressing, touching, exploring, tasting, consuming, possessing. And even though she'd only been here a couple of days, he'd already started to believe that she felt the same way. Jesus, Kincaid, no, she didn't. She absolutely didn't. She'd even said as much, you fool. His stomach rumbled again, more insistently this time, but he didn't move. They were not the same. They never had been. Oil and water, she'd said. What she'd meant was, I'm a Mercedes, and you're just the grease monkey under the hood. I don't want to waste my time. Even the name of her business, he thought, warming to this new indignation. Zuzu's Petals. Jesus, could the universe send him a bigger sign, possibly? Maybe in neon? This woman is not for you, Kincaid. She'd flat out said It's a Wonderful Life was her favorite movie, and, oh, he just bet it was. Poor old sap George giving up absolutely everything for everyone else, so that a woman who cared more about her childhood dreams than her husband's soul would smile patiently at him and keep having more kids. To hell with it, he said aloud, swinging his feet off the coffee table to go satisfy his stomach, if nothing else. As he sat forward, he knocked his backpack off the sofa, spilling some of the contents onto the floor. A little corner of bright pink peeked above the lip of the bag, taunting him. He shouldn't read any more, not while he was feeling like this, all hungry and angry. Hangry, wasn't that what they call it now? And not when there was little point in ferreting out any more of young Miss Malone's secret desires. He'd struck out twice now, doing exactly what she'd said she wanted him to do. Granted, she'd said this 15 years ago, but still, did hearts really change that much with time? Hearts. Listen to him. He really needed to get something to eat. Low blood sugar was turning him into a sap. And a grumpy one. He reached down and lifted the diary out of his bag, sitting back against the sofa to look at it in the pale shaft of light slanting in from the gap in the curtains. He turned it over in his hands, wondering if he should just run it back up to the cabin and just put it back, no harm, no foul. Then he could forget all about Katie Malone and her wonderful life. He opened it idly, letting his thumb flip through pages of different colored writing and a few yellowed newspaper clippings about Johnny Depp and some other movie star he didn't recognize. He paused at a crumbling newspaper ad for a Goo Goo Dolls concert in the city, which had featured the band's typical promotional photo, the one in the poster that had adorned his bedroom wall that year. The song Slide began to play in his head.
Oh, May, put your arms around me. What you feel is what you are, and what you are is beautiful.
Ignoring the earworm, he flipped past it to another page and read about her sorrow at having had to miss the show. Her mom had been drinking again that night and hadn't been able to drive her to the concert like she'd promised. She hadn't let her take a bus into the city by herself either. Teenage tears and angst and railing at the universe about how unfair everything was. Except, he thought with a pang, in her case it had actually been true. Her mother had been a troubled person, and Katie May had always seemed to be taking care of her, not the other way around. He wished he'd known about that concert, he thought with a pang of tenderness. He could have gone with her, kept her safe.
Oh, May, do you want to get married or run away?
He turned a few more pages, taking in the girly handwriting, baffled as ever by how much girls really did like pink. And drawing flowers instead of dots in the letter I. Or hearts, so many hearts. An entry in dark blue ink stood out from the rest, and a particular title within the text caught his eye.
I stayed over at Paige's last night to help her wrap the rest of her Christmas presents. Her family always does so many presents, it blows my mind. She says her mom just likes going overboard, but I think she really does too. She must have bought Noah about 1,000 things. It was kind of cool. Wrapping up tube socks for him, knowing they'd be going on his feet. Is that gross or weird? I don't want to be gross or weird.
Noah laughed. He couldn't help it. Katie thought about his feet. Okay, he wasn't going anywhere near that one. Besides, he'd already tried playing footsie with her in the bottom bunk, and she'd just about murdered him.
Afterwards, we watched It's a Wonderful Life, and I couldn't help it. I started crying at the end when the whole town was there to help George with the bank guys. And of course, that's when Noah came in the room and laughed at me, calling it a stupid movie, and Paige got mad at him for being so rude. I think she might be regretting those tube socks.
Now this he remembered. Clearly, he'd come home from a hockey game and found Katie and Paige sitting amongst a pile of wrapped presents, shushing him, because It's a Wonderful Life was ending and they didn't want to miss the part with the bell. Katie had taken his breath away, sitting there in a pair of satiny, rose-colored pajamas, her long hair loose and lustrous over her shoulders. He'd had to think of something to say. Something other than, God, Katie May, you're gorgeous. And so he'd made some dumb comment about the movie and made Paige yell at him.
I don't care if Noah thinks it's a stupid movie. I love it. I think I must know every line by heart now, but I don't care. I just love watching it whenever it comes on TV. It would be a dream come true to have a house like hers, with a big fireplace and the piano and the staircase with the loose newel post and all those kids thundering around and making noise and playing the piano badly. It just looks so homey. Maybe I'll have that one day. For now, I have the movie, at least. It's the best part of Christmas for me.
Noah groaned. Jesus, even at 15, she was already Miss Good Housekeeping 1953. Next, she'd be going on about how much she'd just love to have a frost-free Frigidaire. He looked up at the ceiling again, leaving the diary open on his lap. He should just go put it back, he thought. Everything he'd read so far had either resulted in a bit of a disaster or was making him realize that maybe she was right. Maybe they were just too different, even for a summer fling. Because that's all it could be. He was leaving at the end of September. Wouldn't be back until after the new year, at least, if ever. And there wasn't much hope of having some sexy summer fun with someone whose ambitions were the exact opposite of his. She'd probably spend their whole time together trying to convince him not to go. There might even be tears and ultimatums and ugly scenes. They might end up hating each other. And that was the last thing he wanted. Paige had been right. Katie Malone was off limits. He hadn't taken things too far yet, and she herself had said she didn't want to waste her time with him, so there, it was mutually agreed. He was still free, he was still unencumbered, he was still his own man. He was still hungry. He moved to get up and the diary fell from his lap to the floor. When he leaned down to scoop it up, he saw that the diary had fallen open to the next page after the one he'd been reading. There was only one short entry written on it, in the same heavy blue ink. Evidently the continuation of her thoughts on the movie. His eyes moved over it with mild curiosity about what else she adored about George's slavery to domesticity.
The only thing I don't like about it is that I feel sorry for George. He's such a good guy and he loves his family and everything, but he never got to go see the world like he wanted. It doesn't seem fair that a great guy like him didn't get to at least do something he wanted to do. Not after helping everyone and being there for everyone. And like his brother Harry was some great guy, going off and getting married without telling anybody before he came back home to a girl whose dad wanted him to work in his factory. So George had no choice but to stay, which was so not fair. After he saved Harry's life and everything, I felt so bad for George in that scene at the train station when he realized he was going to have to stay working in Bedford Falls. And that scene with Mary is so romantic, but it's so sad, too. He's almost yelling at her that he doesn't want to get married, even as he's showing her how crazy in love he is with her. And bingo, next scene, they're married. Who would want to get married like that? With your husband practically crying about how much he didn't want to, and how he wanted to see the world. I didn't like Mary very much after that scene, though I would never tell anyone that. At least George's so sweet in the end and so happy. It's easy to believe he came to terms with everything, but, you know, he could have been just relieved he wasn't going to jail. I don't know. I just feel sorry for him. Good guys like him deserve to get what they want, too.
Noah closed the diary. He sat on the sofa for a long while, ignoring the grumbling of his stomach until he drifted off to sleep with the faint lyrics of that song playing in his head.
Oh, May, do you want to get married? Run away.